A federal judge recently ruled that a supervised injection site, a place where people could use drugs under the watch of doctors and nurses, would not violate federal law. Why could this decision pave the way for the nation's first supervised injection site, right here in Philadelphia? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why. WHYY health reporter Nina Feldman covers the opioid crisis. So Nina, how did the judge come to this decision?
The law in question here is the United States Controlled Substances Act, and it's a particular statute within that act known casually as the crack house statute. And it was written in the 1980s at the height of the crack epidemic to outlaw spaces where people would sell and use crack. So it's also been applied to raves and dance parties where ecstasy was used. The law says that any place whose purpose is to facilitate drug use or drug sale or drug distribution is against federal law according to this statute. And so it really came down to, is the purpose of Safe House to allow people to use drugs, or is the purpose of Safe House, as Safe House argued, something greater, something about saving lives?
Nina, Safe House is a nonprofit that's looking to open its first supervised injection site right here in Philadelphia. How would it work?
Safe House would operate a lot like a small medical clinic. People would come in with their own drugs to inject, so no drugs would be provided. And there would be a series of small booths with little privacy shields where sterile injection equipment would be made available at each booth. And people would sit down and use their drugs, and there would be a series of nurses or other trained medical professionals standing at the ready with naloxone, which is the overdose reversal drug, to make sure that if somebody overdoses, someone's there to revive them. From there, there is another room where people could go into to kind of relax or hang out for a little while before they headed out. And also there would be an opportunity to connect to other treatment options. So if somebody was ready to start medication-assisted treatment or another type of treatment option to move on from their opioid use, that would be available there. And there would also be other services that people could connect to, so housing or, you know, mental health services, a variety of things that it's really common for people who are struggling with addiction to need access to.
So Nina, Philadelphia is in the midst of an opioid epidemic. It has the highest rate of overdose deaths of any large American city. So this truly is a local issue. Why is the federal government involved in this at all?
Yeah, a lot of people do argue that this is a local issue. Back in January of 2018, Philadelphia health officials and the mayor and the district attorney all came out in support of supervised injection sites. And from there, that was sort of the cue for a bunch of harm reduction advocates and medical professionals to come together and form Safe House. It looked like things were going to start moving and get off the ground. But then about a year ago, just over a year ago, in the summer of 2018, then Deputy Attorney General of the United States, Rod Rosenstein, wrote an op-ed in the New York Times where he basically said supervised injection sites are dangerous, they'll make the opioid crisis worse, and he threatened to shut down any such site that would open up. Following that, the U.S. Attorney William McSwain here in Philadelphia sued Safe House preemptively to stop them from opening in February of this year. And they used this crack house statute, this statute of the Controlled Substances Act, to say these spaces are clearly against federal law.
So what happened after they sued?
So the federal government was confident enough that a supervised injection site like the one Safe House is proposing would violate federal law that they asked the judge to make a decision about this just based on the letter of the law, a very narrow scope. Does Safe House or does it not, based on the way they propose to run, violate this statute of the Controlled Substances Act. So in September, there was a hearing where both sides argued about why it did or why it didn't violate this law. So the U.S. attorney's argument was that this is a clear and simple issue. Federal law prohibits a space being opened up for the purpose of using drugs, and that is exactly what they said Safe House is doing. It's a space where people come to use drugs.
So what's going to get people to come to Safe House as opposed to Prevention Point and other places? They can get all that other stuff at Prevention Point. The marketing, the important additional aspect to Safe House is come here and use the drugs.
But Safe House says their purpose is not for people to come and use drugs. People using drugs is sort of incidental to their purpose, which is actually saving lives. It's preventing people from overdosing. And that is what Safe House's attorney, Ilana Eisenstein, argued in court.
I dispute a little bit about the idea that we're inviting people for drug use. I think we are inviting people to stay in order to be proximate even at the time of drug use.
One of the pivotal moments of the hearing was when the judge asked William McSwain if Congress had conceived of a site like this when they crafted the crack house statute.
McSwain could not come up with an answer for that. And, you know, that's an argument that Safe House's supporters have used over and over again. Former Pennsylvania Governor Ed Rendell, who's on Safe House's board, said after the hearing,
"Do you think that Congress would want to send volunteer nurses and volunteer doctors to prison? Does anybody think that there's a public interest to be served to take a doctor who's volunteering his time and who injects someone who's having an overdose with naloxone and saves their lives, that that person should be jailed? Do you think that that's a legitimate result of this statute? Of course not."
This law is not intended to criminalize people who are trying to help.
When we come back,
you know, you had some neighborhood organizations that said, we're still going to fight this tooth and nail.
This is The Why.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
I'm Annette John Hall. We're talking to WHYY health reporter Nina Feldman about a federal judge's ruling that Safe House would not violate federal law. There are a lot of community advocates who are against this idea. What was their reaction to the ruling?
The legal fight is just one of Safe House's challenges. You know, they're up against the U.S. attorney in court, but they're also up against a lot of Kensington residents here in Philadelphia. They say this would all but ensure that the crime and some of the violence associated with the crime that comes with drug dealing would just stay in this neighborhood. You know, if people have a place to use here, then they're going to keep buying here, and it'll just sort of solidify Kensington as a place where drug selling happens out in the open. In response to the ruling, there was a variety of reactions. You know, you had some neighborhood organizations that said, we're still going to fight this tooth and nail. And you have some that sounded a little bit more resigned to the fact that this looked like a bit more of an inevitability now. And they said, you know, we just hope that if the writing's on the wall, the city puts a public safety plan into place so that this works for everybody, not just people who use drugs in the neighborhood, but also longtime residents of the neighborhood as well.
But the government said it would appeal, right?
That's right. It's important to note this is by no means a done
right deal.
The federal judge here in Philadelphia has said federal law does not apply, but the federal government really cares about this issue. U.S. Attorney William McSwain argued the case in person himself in court. That's very rare for something like this. It's clearly something he's invested in. He came out with a statement immediately after the decision that said they still believe that these sites are illegal and plan to litigate further, and this is not over from the U.S. Attorney's Office. So Safe House is not going to just go out and open up a site tomorrow. there's still quite a bit of way to go, but it is the first decision that, you know, could bode well in either direction,
yeah.
And it definitely came down on the side of Safe House.
So what does this ruling mean for Safe House, Nina, if they can't open right away?
Supporters of Safe House are thrilled with this ruling. I talked to a lot of people who support Safe House, including a young woman named Izzy Harper. She lives here in Philadelphia, and she's 28. Her younger sister, Eliza, overdosed and died last year. And Eliza was at home and used and overdosed on their family's couch.
The way that she died was the last way that she wanted to die. She did not want to die, period. You need someone there to save you. And that's why Eliza died, because she died alone on the couch. There was no one there to save her.
To supporters like Izzy Harper, this is a win. This is validation of the arguments that they've been making this whole time. At the same time, Izzy said, you know, she's still angry.
I would hate to be in the federal government's shoes, because I would feel as though the people that have died from when they started this in February until now are partially on their hands.
More broadly, what a decision like this means is that there are no sites like this that exist in the United States. They exist elsewhere in the world, in Canada and in Europe, but other cities here in the United States are looking to this case in Philadelphia to see if the government would have jurisdiction to come crack down on one of these places. And if the answer, as this decision indicates, is no, well, then you might see other places, San Francisco, New York, Seattle, start considering their own legislation or their own sites like Safe House in other parts of the country.
So this can set a nationwide precedent.
It sure can.
Well, Nina, thanks as always for coming in and explaining this ruling to us. Important stuff.
Thank you.
Nina Feldman covers the opioid crisis for WHYY. The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Binyakov, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, under the editorial direction of Katie Culinary. Send me a tweet at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you Monday.